So Hannah mentioned this with the kids about the importance of, you know, the thing about confirmation is you're learning more about the Bible. And really, confirmation is nothing more than a beginning instead of an end to something. It's the beginning of the Holy Spirit continuing to work that faith in you that you were given in baptism. The Bible is all about Jesus. So, I have a couple questions. Have you ever wondered, though, or thought, what is the point of the Bible when you're reading it? Something random. What's the point of this? If you had to boil it down to just one sentence, what would you say is the main message of Scripture? If you had to boil it down to one sentence. So think about that. We're going to talk about that here again in a second. So there are all kinds of people in the world that have all kinds of different opinions on what the Bible does or doesn't say. You know, and a lot of Bible verses get pulled for this or for that. And most of the time it's being used, those verses are being used out of context. And they're simply just using it for their own agenda, whatever that agenda may be. Because you can basically get the Bible to say whatever you want it to say, to justify anything you're doing. But that's not taking the Bible in context. So, and then there's even sayings, popular sayings here in America that have come from and saying that they're from the Bible, but they're just sayings. Let's see if you've heard of any of these before. The first one is, money is the root of all evil. Anybody heard that? Money is not evil. It's not evil to have money or to have a lot of money. Scripture says in 1 Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. But a lot of times that gets twisted there. Here's another phrase. See if you've heard this one. God helps those who help themselves. This actually has its origin from an Aesop's fable called Hercules and the Wagoner, where it says in there, the gods, plural, help them that help themselves. And so if you hear this phrase, God helps those who help themselves, not only is it extremely unhelpful to say to somebody, it's extremely unbiblical. Because if we could help ourselves, why do we need God? Here's another one. God will not give you more than you can handle. Ever heard that? This is another twisting of a Bible passage in 1 Corinthians 10 that says, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. We are not promised that we will not get more than we can handle. And by the way, if we could handle it, why do we need God? Here's another one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Not a Bible verse. This phrase was popular during the Victorian era, made by Sir Francis Bacon and John Wesley. That's where that phrase became popular. Here's another one you've probably heard. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Sounds biblical, right? It's not a Bible verse. It's actually a loose quote from Gandhi, who said, hate the sin and not the sinner. So obviously, yes, we should hate sin, all sin. But we are also to love each other, correct? But that's not a Bible verse. And then the last one I have here is, who's heard this one? This too shall pass. Not a Bible verse. So after being fired by the Bears, Coach Mike Ditka told the media that Scripture tells us this too shall pass. So Coach Ditka was not properly quoting Scripture. I won't mention that he was the Bears coach, but but anyway, this is how easy it is to miss the point of the Bible and twist things, and things get turned into what they're really not, and it's not what the Bible says. And this is why it is so important to take every verse, every single verse in the Bible, in context of that chapter, of that book of the Bible and then in the context of the whole Bible as a whole. That's why it's so important that we do that. So how could we possibly sum it up, the Bible, into one sentence? So here's the scripture we're going to take a look at today from Luke chapter 24. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." So remember last week we talked about this from another gospel writer. Here's Luke's telling of this when Jesus comes to them in the locked room and says, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Because he wanted to prove to them that he was still fully human, he was not a ghost, and that this is indeed Jesus standing in front of them, true man, true God. And so I'm going to stop there before I read the rest of these verses here. And there's four important truths I want you to walk away with this morning from this passage with the verses I'm about to read here. And the first one is verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." You see, the disciples are still struggling with all this. They're still confused, they're still scared, they're still frightened. But Jesus reminds them that he's already shared them with them numerous times in the previous 3 years, that all this stuff was going to happen to him. He even reminded the Pharisees and the scribes who thought they could merit salvation by keeping the law. See, they thought everything was about them and what we do, what they did, how good they were. See, they were missing the main thing and the point of Scripture. So Jesus is telling his astonished disciples that everything prophesied in the Bible had to be fulfilled, which included his death and resurrection. So the first bullet point here, Jesus tells us the Old Testament is centered on himself. And nowadays in this world, that would be considered pretty arrogant, right? Conceited. Well, you know what? Jesus can just say this because it's all about him. He broke it down into three things. He said the law of Moses. So just to give you a little sampling here, and by the way, you may have heard me mention this before, but this is the crimson thread in action. And Jesus is sharing this with them again and telling them that Scripture is all about him. And so here's one of those books that Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. "The Lord your God," this is Moses speaking to the people, "the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." He's talking about the Savior that would eventually come from the line of David, from their brothers that were standing there, Jesus, who came. That's who Moses is talking about there. He didn't realize that at the time, but he was speaking the words from God. And then we get the prophets. Jesus says everything written in the prophets. So just one of those, Isaiah, a very important book in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53, the whole chapter is literally about Jesus. I'm just going to give you a couple verses here. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Where did you just hear that? In 1 Peter. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Those are just a couple of the verses Jesus is talking about here and how he has fulfilled what the Old Testament is talking about. And the third one he points out is the Psalms, the book of Psalms. And again, just a couple verses here from Psalm 22. Go read it on your own. The whole psalm is about the Savior, Jesus, which is written, not coincidence, by David, who Jesus is the son of David. And here's the first verse in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning. Where do we hear that? Jesus says those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the cross on Good Friday. Jesus says those words specifically. Because God had forsaken him. God had turned his back on him. Because God was taking his wrath out on Jesus because of our sin. And so that's just a small sampling here of the crimson thread and the importance of the Old Testament and everything there. Jesus is telling us right here, the Old Testament, it's all about him. So now we move on to verse 45 here, the next verse in Luke. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Next bullet point, Jesus is where our faith and understanding comes from. You know, the amazing gift of faith that we receive through the waters of holy baptism, it's something we can't do on our own and we don't really understand how it works. But it's our faith that we've been given. And the Holy Spirit continues to work that faith in us. The more that we are in God's Word, the more that you're in church, the more you're in prayer, the more you're talking about the Bible with your kids at home, whatever, the Holy Spirit's using all of that to help your faith grow. We can't do it on our own. I can't wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to get 10% more faith today. That's not how it works. It's the Holy Spirit. And this is what our three boys in the second service are going to be confirming. The faith that they were given in their baptisms. We just simply cannot understand the ways of God. Let alone have faith on our own, like I said. The more we try to understand everything on our own, the more we're going to fail and the more we're going to fall away. This is how people fall away from God. They try to figure things out. This doesn't make sense. This can't be true. You talk yourself right out of it. We can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that works that faith in us. He's the one that guides and directs us to an understanding. And here Jesus is telling them, tells us that he opened the minds of those disciples so that they finally understood. You know, I wouldn't have seen this crimson thread stuff in the Bible without the Holy Spirit. He is the one that makes us understand. Luke 24, 46 and 47. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Boom! There it is. Mic drop by Jesus here. He summed up the Bible in one sentence. That's it. That's what it's all about. So I asked this in the beginning, if you had to boil it down into just one sentence, what would you say is the main message? Jesus gives it to you. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about to be a Christian. This is what our faith is built on. And Jesus broke that sentence down into three parts. The first part, that the Christ should suffer. I read to you from Isaiah and Psalm. Those are just a couple of them that talk about how the Savior, this Messiah that God was going to send, was going to be paying a big price. That he was going to suffer. And that's exactly what Jesus did on Good Friday. He suffered immensely. And then the second part of Jesus' summed sentence. On the third day, rise from the dead, which is exactly what he did. And then, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And that's the sentence. That's our job there, by the way. And we need to be reminded of this one sentence, every single Sunday. This is what it's all about. This is the message that was given to us. This is the message we get to share. Because you know what? We need to be reminded of our sin. We need to realize we are not good enough on our own. Our sins indeed do condemn us. You know, Zara and I went to this church once we were visiting. I won't say the name or where it was. It wasn't in Indiana. But the pastor of that church, during the sermon, I was really zoned out. Hopefully you're not zoned out right now. But I zoned back in when I heard these words. We are all on a scrap heap heading for hell. Wow, what a beautiful sentiment that is, right? But the fact of the matter is, it's true. But, you know how I like to talk about that. But Jesus took care of that. And we're not on a scrap heap heading for hell because of what Jesus did for us, where he summed up in that one sentence, because he suffered and died and rose again. And so repentance, when we are asked to repent, it means that we are acknowledging our sin and we're crying out for forgiveness. That's why we do the confession and absolution every single Sunday. That's why it's so important. We need to be reminded that we are indeed sinners and we need Jesus. Which is, of course, the sweet gospel message. And then we get these final two verses here in Luke chapter 24. 48 and 49. You, Jesus continues on, are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now that Jesus has just told them and us what the point of the Bible is, he summed it up in one sentence because that's how cool Jesus is. He tells us and then opens our minds to understand we are to go out and share this message. And this one sentence that Jesus spoke here on that night to the disciples in that locked room, that's our job here at Promise. That's what we are about and we should always be about. The proclaiming of repentance and forgiveness of sins. But not just inside these four walls on Sunday morning, right? It's outside these four walls Monday through Saturday, Sunday through Saturday. Anywhere we go, anywhere God leads us, God is opening up doors for us to share his message. That's why we gave out those little Jesuses 2 weeks ago on Easter. Share a little Jesus with somebody. And notice, though, that Jesus here, in these last two verses, what he said here, he mentions the Holy Trinity. Not only is Jesus, the Son of God, speaking, he talks about the Father, and then he talks about the power from on high. You see, he's talking about the Holy Spirit is going to come and set ablaze in those disciples something that hasn't stopped yet to this day, that the gates of hell will never be able to go against. We are not alone when we go out. And that's what this says. You are not alone as you share the gospel. You have the Holy Spirit. We can plant the seeds. We can plant those little Jesuses. I've heard some great stories, by the way. Somebody told me their little daughter handed one out. The first thing, they went to the park and handed it out to another kid. We're not alone. The Holy Spirit is always with us. And just remember, this same fire that was set in those disciples on that first Pentecost is the same fire that we have. And we don't have to be ashamed to go out and spread the gospel. The Holy Spirit is with us, guiding and directing us. We are never alone. And he promised that, and Jesus keeps all his promises. Am I right? Amen. Let's pray.